Welcome to Street Talk, a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media aired on our Cumulus stations in Syracuse. Street Talk is a weekly show keeping you in touch with the individuals and organizations that work for and serve our community. We're your hosts, Ed and Amy. The Freeze Out 5K is happening this Friday, March 25th at Onondaga Community College to benefit the rescue mission. Gina Rapasati is the Director of Special Events for the rescue mission, and she fills us in on their year so far.
It is so nice being here and actually being in person and just excited to see you. And yes, things at the rescue mission are going really well. We're, you know, kind of getting back into the swing of things. Still face masked in our programs because we have to keep everyone safe in our adult program and in our shelter and our food service. But we're able to bring everybody back into our food service center. Before, we had to do to-go meals just to keep the amount of people in one area to a limit. But I was in food service the other day, and you know, it's great to see everyone smiling and being able to be in there at all the same time. Overnight stays in our shelter are right around the same, you know, frame that we've had them before. People are kind of getting out of the cold and the rain and, you know, being in our shelter. And so things are going good. We're looking forward to the next couple months with some warmer weather and just being able to get back into the swing of things.
Well, you're one of those organizations where obviously when the world shut down, I mean, you guys never did.
No,
and
we didn't.
Kind of unbelievable, speaking of food service and things like that, I mean, you had to totally change the way that you did it forever.
Yeah, so our food service center was basically based on a restaurant. So we had to do a certain amount of capacity. We had to do to-go menus or to-go containers. So that totally changed. That was very different and very tough for us because we did a huge remodeling project, a capital campaign for our food service center. We had one full holiday in November, and then the world shut down in March. So we had to go from everybody being in there and, you know, using the whole facility to a certain part of it with just the community coming in to get their meals and then keeping our clients separate. So then there was no spread of COVID or anything like that. So our food service team is excited to be back kind of in a normal functioning schedule for them. But we're just excited for everyone to be able to come in and get a meal.
And also, I mean, I remember your thrifty shoppers, which is what 60% of revenue that comes in had to shut down. So, I mean, the thrifty shoppers, it was kind of good and bad, right? Because then everybody was donating during the pandemic.
Yes.
But you couldn't sell for a long
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah. So like you said, it's 60% of our revenue. So our thrifty shoppers did shut down immediately. People were still donating. We had to hold off a little bit with the donation centers just because we had to lay off our staff force. So there weren't many people to do the donations. But our thrifty shoppers are thriving right now. We actually just moved our Liverpool location. If you haven't been there, our new location is on 57. It's beautiful. I was there the other day and they're doing a great job. And then up in Watertown, the store location where it used to be right on Arsenal Street has now closed and they're moving to another location. So our thrifty shoppers are very busy. If you haven't been in one of them, I tell you to go in and shop. I have a 10-year-old that grows out of everything, and I'm telling you, the thrifty shopper, the secret one, is in Camillus, the 315, has so many good things for kids. Yes, our thrifty shoppers are doing great, and it does bring in a lot of revenue for the rescue mission, so very important.
And I love it, too. I feel like the new generation is all about taking can you say hand-me-downs
or
like used clothing? I mean, environmentally conscious, it's a thing that has always been part of our lifestyle, but I think it's becoming, I guess, cool to do that, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? You want to get your money's worth. And I think for, you know, like my generation or other generations, it's making a difference. So you could be donating a t-shirt and a pair of pants and not wonder, you know, what does this do? Well, that could represent someone getting a meal. So, you know, or a, you know, an overnight stay. So no matter what you're donating, in the long run, it does go into providing services that we do at the rescue mission.
And also textile donating, because I know that we have talked before that you guys kind of sort through everything.
Absolutely.
And if you have something that you say, oh, nobody would ever wear that, or I have one sock or whatever, that goes into a separate collection, but still is collected.
Yes, that's true. So whether you're going through things, you know, just donate it, let our staff look at it, and then they can bale it and recycle it. And then we still receive funds for that, too. So,
Really, really important. In fact, I was dropping dropping off a bunch of stuff in the Cicero location a month or so ago when I had a little time off and I was cleaning out my storage. And you're like, I had so much stuff. And I was like, I am so sorry. And she said, well, that's all right. That's what we do.
Yeah,
you know, that's okay.
Job.
That's, we have great big boxes. Yeah. We take them back. And so you can drop them off, not just at the drop off locations, but also any of the stores.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your shelter, because I mean, we're coming out of a very cold winter.
Yeah.
And explain to me who stays there. Is there certain periods of time that they can stay, or just talk a little bit about that?
So our emergency shelter welcomes men or women ages 18 and older, and anyone can stay there. You know, if you just need to stay there a night or for, you know, a 30-day period or so, they kind of work on your situation. So once you do an intake, they'll work with a case manager and see, you know, what's the reason for staying there? What different things do you need? Do you need help looking for a job? Is there a reason that, you know, you had something going on with a crime or something like that? And then, you know, what is the proper traction or track that you should be taking to get back on your feet? So they can stay right there. We have a day center where, you know, during the day they're able to meet with their case managers, go for appointments, and then the shelter is separate from there. So that's, you know, kind of just in the evening that they're in that part. So, you know, the colder months, definitely a lot of people are in there because it is very cold in central New York. But the summer months as well, too, it can get really hot. So they want to come in where it's cooler. You know, if they come in, you know, we have all the different things that they might need. Hygiene items, you know, socks, underwear, t-shirts. A lot of them come to us with just things that are, you know, that they're wearing. So we need to provide, you know, more clothing or different hygiene items as well. So
I always like to talk to representatives from the rescue mission, because I think especially it's hard to know all that's going on sometimes of people that are homeless and on the streets and asking for donations. You do see a lot of signs around saying, you know, jobs offered here.
Right.
And I think that people say, well, then how about the person on the corner go and apply to this? There's a lot more that you have to take into account as compared to just someone who may not know their background.
Right. Exactly. And our outreach program, we have three amazing individuals that are doing outreach here in Syracuse. And they're, you know, 7 days a week, all different hours that they're out working with those individuals that are on the street. And there might be a lot of different mental illnesses that they have, and we don't know what's going on. So, you know, I say in our family, our biggest thing is in, you know, all of our cars, we have little to-go packages with like socks and bottled water and granola bars and, you know, lotion or something, hand warmers. And so we might hand those out on the street instead of giving money. So you don't really know what's going on unless you actually know the person. And so our team is out there working every day with those individuals, whether bringing them coffee or, you know, Jim, who heads up our outreach program, he'll tell us that, you know, just smile at those individuals. You know, we don't know what's going on in their life and we don't know what is going on in their day. So just say hi to them and, you know, smile and see what's going on. So our outreach team is out there every day, like I said, and just trying to work on those individuals to come back into our shelter or to help them get housing wherever they need that.
I always like to hear, too, that, you know, being assigned to a caseworker, because when you talk to you guys, the goal is not bringing everybody to the shelter or to or to get meals. The goal is to make them more independent and to help them find housing and to help them find a job. That's the goal, is to get them back out and be independent themselves.
Yeah, and it's a long term in finding affordable housing and you know, working with them and seeing where they're at.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about the Freeze Out 5K, but just before we do that, let's talk about volunteers, because I know that that kind of had to be cut down with everything you did.
Yes.
You guys heavily rely on volunteers, and just like a lot of organizations, that was not as readily acceptable during the pandemic.
I know. That has been very hard. I actually saw a couple of our volunteers the other day, and it was just nice to see them in person rather than over, you know, Zoom chat. And so our volunteer opportunities have scaled back a little bit. People can volunteer in our Thrifty Shoppers, and if you go to our website, right on the Rescue Mission website, we'll list all the opportunities and then you can fill out an application. But right now what we're doing is in our Thrifty Shoppers, we're slowly bringing in our regulars to our food service center, asking them to all be vaccinated and still wearing a mask with our population, not knowing who's, you know, has their vaccination or boosted or anything like that. So we're slowly bringing people into our food service center. And then with our different events that we have on site, bringing back volunteers as well. So they are a huge part of our family, and we've miss them very much. It's so nice to start to see them coming back to our events and then also Thrifty Shopper and our food service center. And then during the holidays, our volunteers actually got us through 2 years of Thanksgiving and Christmas, because at the Rescue Mission, we don't stop serving meals, especially during those holiday months. So for Thanksgiving and Christmas, we deliver about 2,000 meals out to the elderly and homebound in Central New York. And when COVID first hit, Dan said, whoever needs a meal, we will deliver to someone, whether they're elderly or homebound. So that number was almost to 3,000 that we were delivering out on Christmas morning and Thanksgiving morning. So we had hundreds of volunteers, and we kept it very simple. They pulled up to our building. We loaded meals into their backseat of their vehicles, and then they took those out there and kind of just knocked on the door, and it was very contactless. So we're so thankful for volunteers that came out during those months as well.
And on your website, if anybody is looking for, yes, as you absolutely mentioned, any kind of opportunities, which as that leads us to, because you need volunteers for something like the Freeze Out 5K.
Yes.
And I love to talk all about what the Rescue Mission is doing, because that's the reason why this is so important. It's a really fun event,
yeah,
but this is raising the funds to do all of what you just talked about, 365 days a year. I mean, that's how important it is.
Yeah, and so we're so excited. So the Freeze Out 5K is March 25th at Onondaga Community College at the SRC Arena. And unfortunately, last year we were not able to have that event. So we're so excited to be back this year. We did push it back a little bit. It's normally in February, so it's March. And someone
it's more
said,
freezy.
Yeah, and so someone said to me the other day, you do know the time change. It might be a little bit lighter on Friday. And I was like, people can still wear glow-in-the-dark items.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
We encourage you to come up to OCC on March 25th. Registration kicks off at 6, and then the race starts at 7. Whether you're a walker or runner, come join us. We've got a great after party. Mere Mortals will be rocking the house up there, and we're excited. Rick Roberts is going to be there, helping us with that event. And really, all the money that's raised from the freeze out goes to help to provide those meals and the shelter stays. So it's very important, and it kind of gives you a little glimpse of, you're only outside for however long it takes you to run that 5K. But that's what our clients go through usually every day, that they're outside, whether it's pouring right now and they don't have a house to go into or, a place to go into. So we encourage everyone, whether you've ran a 5K or if you are, a little rusty, come out. It's a great day and it's a great evening. It's an easy way to start the weekend, and it's for family and, all ages.
Yeah, all ages. And
yeah,
it's really a safe place to go because you're right on the campus. That's
fun.
Yeah,
you just do, it's the OCC does an amazing job up there with their security and EMTs, and you do two loops around the campus, and then again, like I said, come in for after party. We've got great food, drinks, and everything. So
very
yeah
fun.
And you can go right to our website and register right there.
Now, you can register beforehand, but you also can just show up that night,
yep,
and register.
Yep, the day of. Yep, so come around 6 o'clock and then you can register. But we encourage you to go register right on the website. Every participant gets, we did some fun, cool, like running gloves this year. You get a medal when you finish, the bib number, and that also comes with your registration.
Oh, really nice.
Yeah.
And right around the corner, my goodness, we're going to hopefully do the Ride and Run again.
Yes.
Because that was really successful.
I
that
know.
Was so fun. That was my first charity race that I was since the pandemic, and that was early on last summer.
Yeah, that's we're scheduled for July 30th at Long Branch Park. And yes, that was our first real event in person last year. I remember seeing people and saying, can I hug you? Can I not hug you? What should I do?
We're still doing that.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
I'm not sure that we'll ever
yeah, so we're excited. But for the Freeze Out 5K, go right under our website, freezeout5k.com. And it's easy to register for you or your whole family.
Register for the Freeze Out 5K at freezeout5k.com. Or just show up Friday night at 6 to participate. SUNY Oswego is having an exhibit featuring artist Alberto Rey, which focuses on the Oswego River and Lake Ontario. It's running through April 2nd. Dave White of the New York Sea Grant talks about what a rich history the area waterways have and how this is such a great way to learn more.
This is, as we go from winter to spring, March is such a dynamic month. We continue New York Sea Grant to celebrate our 50th anniversary. So, we still got folks that are doing some ice fishing and activities. We got folks that are starting to do open water activities. And we have a great art exhibit going on up at SUNY Oswego that specifically talks about Lake Ontario and the Oswego River.
I love hearing the history. I know that, you were very much into that when you were doing the exhibits at the New York State Fair, but very rich history when it comes to boating and shipwrecks.
There is, and, we're excited to partner with the folks at SUNY Oswego and artist Alberto Rey. He's actually from SUNY Fredonia, and he's done some just exceptional work, and Oswego was able to bring him to campus to do what's called the biological regionalism Oswego River and Lake Ontario exhibit, which is on exhibit during the month of April in Tyler Hall. And we're just excited to partner with them as well, because to broaden out the exhibit, they asked us to bring our State Fair exhibitry over the last 4 years in support of that project. So we've got information on Great Lakes shipwrecks, the waterways of war, and lighthouses that actually are augmenting Alberto Rey's exhibit, which is just extremely fascinating because it's all new artwork that he did specifically for this exhibit on Oswego River and Lake Ontario.
Well, talk a little bit about it. I mean, obviously, we don't want to give away all the secrets, but talk a little bit about the highlights.
And people can go onto his website, and he actually produced a book that supports it, which really, you know, with some additional folks that really talks about the history and our use of the waterway. I will tell you what I was most fascinated by is he actually provides a time-lapse video of him doing one of the paintings. You know, most of us never, we only see a final product. We don't know about what goes into it. So actually, as part of the exhibit, he actually shows you what it takes to develop an original artwork on the Oswego River and Lake Ontario area. So yeah, I sat there in just fascination watching that time-lapse video and then seeing the final product artwork there. So it's really very cool. And like I say, for folks that want to go up, if you go online, the book is a PDF online. You'll just get so much more information as well as the history of it and some great articles that were written by some partners.
And, you know, talk a little bit about the lighthouses, because obviously back in the day, I mean, they're so cool now and still needed, but just back in the day, that was really the only way to guide these sailors in.
Absolutely. And he does some great artwork about the lighthouses. In our exhibitry, we talk about, you know, Oswego Lighthouse specifically, lighthouse keepers, the job that they had. You know, as we now know, most of them are automated. But it does, you know, and as we take each one of these little maritime history pieces, whether it be lighthouses or shipwrecks or, you know, the waterways of war, I mean, we are so connected to the history of the United States. And you've heard me say that before, the history of the United States began here, you know, with the access to the Great Lakes and the battles that were fought and the canal system and the Oswego River. I mean, this is where the action was back then. So to learn about that and then to have Alberto bring us up to date with his artwork that talks about a lot of the various components in history, I just have found it fascinating. You know, and I'll be honest, I'm not a real art person, but, you know, seeing this exhibit and watching it come to life has been absolutely fascinating to see and to be a part of.
And also, we quickly mentioned shipwrecks, but I mean, that unfortunately was part of the history as well.
It is part of our history. You know, we're excited now to be continuing to work with the H.D. White Maritime Museum in the work that they're doing to bring shipwrecks to life. But also, you know, we got to talk about, you know, the Lake Ontario National Marine Sanctuary that's being proposed, which, you know, is that next step in just, you know, bringing that underwater world in, you know. The press right now is all about the Endeavor having been found, and that just gets us excited. It's a snapshot of our history and time, and we have those same kind of resources. I mean, the resources we have in the Great Lakes go back to the French and Indian War, Revolutionary War, pre-colonization of New York. So the history that's there and the things we can learn from it are just magnificent to help us learn more today about, you know, learn from the past, live to the future. It just provides that great opportunity.
I see also you are providing some panels on invasive species, which is also, unfortunately, a big part of the Great Lakes.
Yeah, you know, we've embedded that in all of the activities we do because it is a part of our life. Dealing with invasive species, whether you're a water intake, whether you're a boater, whether you're an angler, whether you're just a recreational user of any ilk along our lakes and under our lakes, you know, we all need to be concerned about the continued transport of invasive species because each one that we get modifies the system. Now, we have some that we put in intentionally. You know, we always have to, you know, realize we've had to do things to help control invasives with other invasives. But, you know, now it's all part of the plan as to how do we do this? How do we manage them? How do we monitor them? Not only, you know, upland as well as aquatic and, you know, looking at all those systems with partners. And we all can be, you know, a part of the solution to that, making sure that we're not transporting it. You know, even those of us that, you know, love to kayak and canoe, we can be a part of that problem as well. So we want to make temperature, you know, and sharing that information as we begin the transition from ice fishing to boating also becomes critically important as we start thinking about getting those boats in the open water. It is going on until April 2nd, 11 to 3 each day. You can go online to the SUNY Oswego website and get more information, and it is in the Tyler Art Gallery on campus.
Perfect. And yes, let's talk about that open water, David. I mean, it's going to be boating season before we know it. And truthfully, now, though, is kind of a iffy time on the waterways, because I think people are still liking their winter sports but still looking to the spring, and so just a dangerous time, I would think.
It is a time to really be considerate of your and the people around you safety. You know, I leave my house and I drive by Oneida Lake on my way to work in the morning, and I'll see ice shanties out, and I'll get to my office at SUNY Oswego, and I'll look out and see, you know, boats in the harbor. Even, you know, we have microclimates across the area, so, you know, it really behooves each of us as we are continuing to, you know, enjoy our winter activities, and then as we, you know, head towards our open water activities, safety is paramount. You know, making sure that the ice is still safe. For, you know, if you're going to be out there in an ice shanty or thinking of taking a vessel out, to really heed the warnings from, you know, our good law enforcement folks that, you know, they're out there, and when they start talking about please stay off, you know, the ice, they've done an analysis, you know, they want to make sure people are safe. And then as we start to go into open water, we have to remember, you know, ice is just off, which means the water is extremely cold. Hypothermia can set in. So, you know, in both circumstances right now, you really want to be wearing a life jacket. Now, on a boat, you're required to, but as you're going out ice fishing, you know, you and I have talked before, like a float coat or a float suit that has, in, you know, a PFD built into it, so that if you do go through the ice, you know, you're going to pop back up. You've got, you know, your life-saving device on. So, you know, you might be thinking about a little modification to what you're doing on both of those. You know, if you're going to be going out open water, where are you going? Is it fully open? What's the water temperature going to be? You know, making sure you're letting somebody know. You know, we call it a float plan in open water, but, you know, it can be an ice plan when you're going out on the ice. Make sure someone knows where you're going. When do you plan to be back? In case there's an emergency, you know, and a lot of folks forget, you know, if you're walking out on the ice and you fall in, you probably have your phone in your pocket, which has now rendered it useless. So if you are out, make sure you have one of those containers for your phone to keep your phone dry, so that if you do have a problem, you can call for help. So it's a little bit of a nuanced change as we go from ice to open water. Both of them have specific things we really need to be thinking about as we do the transition.
And you mentioned that you are required to wear a life preserver. I mean, that's always a good idea, but certain months, it's the law that you have to.
It is. You have to wear a life jacket on open waters until May 1st. You know, everybody on board, regardless of age, you need to have that life jacket not only on the boat, but you need to be wearing it. And wearing it means that it's securely fastened, so that, again, if you do have a problem, you know, I've done the in-water demonstrations in 45-degree water, and, you know, I always share with people, watch what happens when I jump in. And the first thing that happens is I lose my breath. You know, so, you know, and when you lose your breath, if you don't have a life jacket on, it gets you disoriented. So, you know, I always show people this is what happens. Now, you know, we do it in that nice, safe environment where I've got my colleagues there ready to pull me back out of the water. But those are the things you have to be thinking about. And that's why the life jacket is required, especially if you're going to be out alone. And a lot of folks do go out alone early in the season. You really want to have that life jacket on. You want to have a form of communication. You know, if you've got an APIRB, you know, that's where you want to have it on board with you. You want to have a bright color so that if you do have a problem, you know, those that are coming out to rescue can see you. So it's just thinking about some different nuances about what's going on this time of year, because this time of year we do have both. We have open water as well as ice.
See more at nycgrant.org. That's it for this week's edition of Street Talk. If you have an issue to discuss or an event or nonprofit organization to promote, or to find out more information about something you've heard on this or past week's programs, email amy.robbins@cumulus.com. For events, allow 2 weeks in advance. Street Talk has been a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media. We're Ted and Amy. Thanks for joining us each week here on Street Talk.
You you loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules, now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
We have Larsa Pippen on. Do you feel like you enjoyed filming enough to go back for another season?
I always wanted to protect Scotty. I didn't want to make him look a certain way or have his character be compromised because a girl didn't like what I was wearing. So I feel like this time around, I wasn't worried about that. I just had fun. It was a good experience for me, other than me looking like a lunatic.
Give Them Lala. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.